great drama.
Yeah, and you're probably going to have 4 or 5 people in each section.
Unbelievable.
But this is a nice set.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Hey, hey, hey. Hello, scribes. Could you please give me a little something back so that we know that you're standing by ready for our next event? Come in, Rangoon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen of Scribe World. Could you please type something back for us so that we can see that the event is active and working in the room here in sunny Durban?
I did the same thing I did to get the URL yesterday that I did today. I have a special one. I just changed the date in it. Got it.
So
they just
stand by.
Stand by. Yes.
Yeah, but that's for that's for the website. That's for anybody who wants to see it. That's the link that goes up.
Time check, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. We've got audio. I have pressed it.
Yeah.
Hello? 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 Hi, we have audio. All right, time check, everyone. It's just 3:01. We scheduled to start at 3:00. We'll give it a couple more minutes for all the counselors to be seated and for people in the room to take their places. Thank you.
I do it every Acme. Every Acme.
Good for you, man.
I think the only one I missed was Beijing.
You really?
Yeah, but just
hey.
Sit here.
Good, how are you?
I encourage all councillors to take their seat at the table. All right, we are good to go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the GNSO public meeting, our council meeting held in public for the benefit of those that are in attendance at the meeting. Welcome to our meeting in Durban. We're going to kick things off with the reports from the stakeholder group and constituency leaders. Our agenda this afternoon, we're going to try and stick to a total of 3 hours, which means we'll complete all of our proceedings by 6 o'clock. Approximately the first 45 minutes will be covered by item one, which is this, this initial item, the presentation by the stakeholder groups and constituency leaders. So I think without further ado, I will ask... Elisa Cooper from the business constituency to come and present to us. Just making sure I pronounce your name correctly, Elisa.
Yeah, how do you say it? It's, I said the other day, I was talking to someone, even I don't pronounce it the same way every time. So I think I'll say Elisa this time. So my name is Elisa Cooper. I am the chair of the business constituency. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about the meetings we've had this week. We did something new this time. We met with our commercial stakeholder group partners, the intellectual property constituency and the ISPs, on Sunday, which was new for us. And it was actually great to have that time to talk with them and work with them in advance of our normal meetings, which we have on Tuesday, which is our constituency day. In terms of the meetings we had on Tuesday, we covered a number of different topics, including the motions that are before the council. We spent some time talking about those. We also discussed at length some issues around security and stability, which are of great concern to a number of members. In addition, we also talked about whether or not we would be submitting a comment at the public forum around our desire to have GAC advice, all of it, put out for public comment, in particular going back to some things like the singular versus plural issue and some issues that some members have around the geographical strings. So we talked about how we would perhaps ask at the forum for the board to put that back out for comment. In addition, we also spent some time talking about recent outreach activities that some of our members have conducted, and we spent just a little bit of time talking about the need to continue to improve our own outreach efforts, which is not something that we've done in the North American region very much, but something which I especially want to continue to pursue. And then finally, we spent quite a bit of time talking about our own charter. So there are a number of amendments which we've been discussing at different levels and at different times, which we need to finally take full note of and actually incorporate and get the members to take a look at that and make those changes. So we've been very busy, but I think we've had an excellent, excellent meeting. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions for Elisa in the business constituency report?
All right.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you.
So I should have said, and I didn't need to say with our previous speaker, that we need to keep things to 5 minutes per entry. I have no doubt that our next presenter, Keith Drazik of the Registry Stakeholder Group, will have no problems doing so. Over to you, Keith.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Just wanted to note the Registry Stakeholder Group had a productive day of meetings yesterday. Most importantly, and really something to celebrate, was the welcome and invitation for three new Registry Stakeholder Group members. The three registries that signed contracts this week became eligible to transition from the NTAG, the new TLD applicant group, to full membership in the Registry Stakeholder Group. So CORE, DONUTS, and International Domain Registry are the three newest members of the Registry Stakeholder Group with full voting rights. And we're thrilled that we're able to sort of get to this next stage. So welcome to all three of them. We had productive meetings with the ICANN board. We specifically discussed GAC advice, the PIC-DRP, which is the Public Interest Commitment Dispute Resolution Procedure, and the budget planning for FY14. We had a productive meeting with the registrars, a joint session where we discussed trademark clearinghouse with IBM and Deloitte, and registrar onboarding process. So those were the highlights of our session. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Keith. Any questions or comment on Keith's report? Thank you very much, Keith. Over to you, Michele Nailon from the Registrars Stakeholder Group, Chair of the Registrars Stakeholder Group.
Good afternoon, ladies, gentlemen. Michele Nailon speaking as Chair of the Registrar Stakeholder Group. First time doing one of these, so bear with me. If I miss out on any important metrics, do ask questions. As usual, the registrars are having a very, very busy week here at ICANN, but hopefully a productive one. So far this week, we look like we've picked up several new members from the region, which is encouraging. Hopefully, we'll be able to pick up more in the future. Yesterday, we had a very full day. We got updates from the compliance team. We got updates from the expert working group, from ESSAC, the policy team, and, of course, we had our usual joint meeting with the registries and discussed the topics that Keith covered. In our meeting with the board and with other sessions that we had throughout the day, there were a couple of issues that we did raise with ICANN staff. I mean, on the first thing is that we are delighted to have concluded negotiations of the RAA. However, we do want to make sure that certain issues are addressed in a timely fashion, such as dealing with topics like local law exemption. We've also expressed our concerns to both the board and to staff with respect to outreach globally and multilingually to help registrars and the rest of the entire chain come to grips with the new contract and its obligations. I think that pretty much covers it.
Thank you, Michele, and I'll take the opportunity to remind everyone that questions can come not only from the Council or comments, but from the whole point of having a public forum is to have others in the audience potentially participating. I should also remark that this was the first time I've ever travelled to an ICANN meeting with a tie, and having seen the chair of the registrar's group in a tie suit and tie yesterday, I felt that that set a precedent that I could easily follow. So thank you, Michele.
You're welcome. I try to help you wherever I can.
Thank you for your sartorial lead and your helpful report from the registrar stakeholder group.
Thanks.
Next up, we have Tony Holmes, Chair of the Internet Service and Connectivity Providers constituency. Tony Holmes, over to you.
Thank you, Jonathan, and good afternoon, Council. I'd like to begin by echoing a remark that was made previously by Elisa. The time made available to us on the Sunday for a commercial stakeholder group meeting was really, really useful. It really helped us get through the rest of the week in a much better way. And I'd like to ask that that arrangement could be maintained in future, that we actually have some time made available. In terms of the report from our constituency meeting, we spent a long time discussing IDNs and IDN variants with the people who have the expertise here in ICANN. We had realised that that's going to impact ISPs quite a lot, and we needed to basically get up to speed. We identified that there's quite a bit of work to do in that area to enable us to take our aspects of that work forward, and we discussed how we could work between now and the next meeting in Buenos Aires to take that forward. So it was a substantial amount of our time, but incredibly useful. We were also joined by Chris Maldini, who replaced Sally's attendance at our meeting, to look at global stakeholder engagement and how we fitted within that. Again, a substantial amount of time. Other items that we considered was how we're going to engage now once again with the ATRT2 team and respond on that. And of course, we looked ahead to your meeting this afternoon and the proposed motions that we discussed as well. So that really covers the items that we discussed. I'd like to raise one other item for your attention and would ask that maybe when you have your wrap-up meeting, you can take this into consideration. But on a day when I'm pretty sure, even with your great chair in Jonathan and your reduced time for discussion that was scheduled, you're very likely, because of other events, to end up with a pretty lightly attended meeting by the audience. And I actually question the value of having this session and eating into your time. I think a much better way to achieve this, and bearing in mind we want to maintain total transparency, give everyone an awareness of what's happening in the constituencies. I wonder if it would be better to ask the constituencies, maybe the chairs, to submit a report, perhaps to Glenn, where we can summarise what we're standing here speaking, and that could be posted on the GNSO website, and if you then have questions, we would certainly be in the audience to answer them. But it may be a way of you gaining more time for the really substantial discussions that I know you're going to have later today.
Thank you, Tony. Any comments or questions for Tony? John Berard.
Tony, this is John Berard. That's an interesting suggestion. I don't recall. How long have we been doing these reports? Four or five meetings? But these reports were created to provide a bit more of the sort of animation that you're talking about that would lead to a fuller room. So moving them off the stage at this point is probably, I think they probably deserve a little bit more airtime before we decide to put them there.
My response back to you, John, is it doesn't seem to be working that well. So, but I'll leave you to discuss further.
Any other comments or questions for Tony? Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. This is Jeff Newman. I think I was one of the ones who suggested doing this in the first place. And the one thing I wanted, I thought we could achieve, which we're not achieving, so I take that comment, was really what I wanted was a constituency readout of the issues that the council was going to address, that maybe it could help influence the outcome of the actions that we were going to take. It hasn't turned into that. I don't know if we can ever turn it into that. I would love to see a way, and maybe it's a completely different session at some point. We have Constituency Day where we're all in our silos. I mean, there's a couple cross-constituency groups like the CSG meets and the registries and registrars meet together, and sometimes there's other overlaps. I'd be interested to see if there's a way where instead of having a council sit up here, that the community has a way after Constituency Day to exchange the ideas before we get up here and vote on resolutions. I'm especially this week have found too much discussion in back rooms, and you know, it would be great to just meet face to face and have open discussions before, you know, we actually get up here and decide these motions. That was the intention. It's not working that way now, and I look for ideas if we can have something like that.
I certainly never understood it in that way. And maybe that's why it hasn't worked along with others. But it's an interesting suggestion, and I do share your concerns, Jeff, if we can do something to address those issues in a better way, then we should look at it for sure. So I think the ball's probably in your court when you have your wrap-up meeting.
Thanks, Jeff, for that contribution. And Tony, thank you for raising that. I mean, I think that's an interesting point. I mean, personally, I think we need to the issues. We need to separate out the issues, the effective engagement, and the extent of the audience. And I think that's partly down to scheduling, it's significantly down to scheduling, and both at the timing and the parallel schedules. But I think the suggestion of more comprehensive interaction is certainly interesting. To your initial point on the scheduling over the weekend and the capacity to provide for, in this instance, to accommodate the CSG's request to meet. I mean, I'm really pleased that worked for you guys. Certainly from a council point of view, it felt that we had squeezed more into the time slot available. So it's something we should discuss as to how we schedule the weekends and whether that is possible on an ongoing basis. But at least it's encouraging to know that those that requested it benefited from it and found it useful. So that's great to hear. Zahid. I agree with Jeff that it would have been helpful. Even this time, and there have been other instances where the community would have, at least the GNSO community would have actually benefited from maybe some discussion to try and air out issues and come to some agreement on some aspects before we got to, say, the council meeting. And I think that would have been, that's what I think Jeff means by back discussions, backdoor discussions, things like that. And I think maybe either on the Sunday we have some time for that, or on the Monday if we can take out some time for that. That is what I think would help us by the time we get to constituency day and then get to the council meeting to have had time to sort of sort these matters out. Thanks.
So that's not the first suggestion that I've heard in the last day or two about how we might rethink the effectiveness of our weekend sessions at really getting the important issues out. So I'm certainly going to give it some thought. I'll talk with other councillors, and I just remind everyone of the role and position of the council. The council is comprised of council reps primarily from the different stakeholder groups and constituencies, but the GNSO goes much deeper than that, and this is part of the reason for engaging directly with the stakeholder group and constituency leadership. So maybe this isn't the perfect way to do it, but nevertheless, the point's well taken, and I think we can all put our thinking hats on as how we move that forward. So thanks for bringing those useful points up, Tony.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we'll hear from the Intellectual Property Constituency Chair, Christina Rosette.
Thanks. I just want to echo the thanks given by my fellow CSG constituency leaders for having the time available on Sunday. It was extraordinarily useful to us. I think it ended up with the CSG as a whole, and I know the IPC in particular, having a much more productive use of Constituency Day. We have had really two meetings. Because we do not have a very large number of IPC members here, we did actually have a very substantive two-hour phone meeting before we all arrived, where we discussed the policy and implementation working group drafting team, which included active participation by a number of IPC members, the ATRT2, the budget, and in particular the concerns that both the IPC and the CSG had about this year's budget, as well as issues relating to membership voting and participation that to some extent we anticipated in light of the large number of DOT brand applicants and talking about what those implications will be for participation, membership, and voting in our constituency. We also spent some time talking about potential outreach strategies and the extent to which, if at all, that we can benefit and try and leverage some of the outreach and engagement strategies that we've seen launched this week. While we've been here, in terms of yesterday, our meeting, we had a very productive question and answer session with the EWG. We received a preview of the presentation on the URS. We had a discussion with the folks from Deloitte about the TMCH, as well as an agreement to provide some input to ICANN on the Sunrise dispute resolution procedure/policy that seems to have some mention in the guidebook but no real implementation and raises some kind of issues that are of concern to both members and non-members of the IPC alike. We received what I think may be our last briefing from compliance and had a demo of the new tool, which was very useful. We discussed the motions, and we also then had an extended discussion of the implications for the multi-stakeholder model of some of the GAC advice that we're expecting to see in the GAC communique tomorrow and what the IPC position is on that. In terms of the comment that Tony made, I would actually attribute the lack of attendance to a different issue and one that I think is particularly acute today, and that is multiple scheduling. Whereas in some cases it's possible to be in one session and watch the scribe feed of the GAC, for all of the other sessions that don't have scribe feeds, you really have to pick and choose as to where you're going to be. And I think that is in part because in the past couple meetings in particular, it's taken a significant amount of time, upwards of 4 weeks in some cases, to actually see transcripts from those sessions. So I would actually request that in your wrap-up session that you talk about what the GNSA, what the council view is, and how it would be possible to provide input into better scheduling so that you don't have very important sessions that are of interest to multiple stakeholders occurring simultaneously. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina, and thank you for that last point. I mean, I'm personally in agreement with you on that. I have the same concern, both in terms of the timing and the parallel schedule. Are there any questions or comments for Christina? Yes, Jeff.
Thanks, Christina. You said you have you were working on, or the IPC is working on, a sunrise dispute resolution policy. I think it's right.
No, I misspoke. We pointed out that there is a reference in the guidebook to grounds on which someone can bring a sunrise dispute, but that's all there is. And some of the requirements may no longer make the same sense that they did when we all thought that we were going to have 500 applications that were going to be fully evaluated within 6 months.
So are you setting up some sort of group to work with them, or?
No, we just told ICANN that we would be happy to offer our comments, and I anticipate that they would welcome receiving comments and views from all the other stakeholders too.
Yeah, or better yet, maybe it's something we consider forming a small group on of applicants. It's, I think they're the ones that have to enforce it, or the registries, and maybe we can do the work for them. Yeah, maybe we can come up with something jointly.
Well, you know, the IPC thought that would happen with the IRT too, so we're a little gun shy on that idea.
Thanks. Jeff, did you have something more to add then?
I'm not.
So I guess my more formal answer is I will take the suggestion back to the constituency, and if there is interest, I'll revert to you.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Christina. Any other comments or questions for Christina and the IPC? Thank you again. Next up, we have Marie Laure from the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns Constituency, NPOC.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Yesterday, we started with a meeting with the ATRT2 team. Then we had almost a four-hour-long meeting, internal meeting, since it was the first meeting of the newly elected executive committee. We pretty much discussed in-house matters. On the agenda, we had topics such as a review of our charter, upcoming events, a progress report about ongoing projects, the seat of NPOC on NONCOM, and a lot of other issues. Then we met with the expert working group and shared concerns about privacy and asked questions about aspects that were not that clear to us. Then we went on and joined the NCSG Policy Committee meeting, had a good session there, and then all together with the NCSG team, we went and had a meeting with the board. And I'm not mentioning the cocktails and the gala because no one did, so I guess it's not supposed to be included in the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marie Laure. Any comments or questions for Marie Laure or the NPOC? Thank you again for your report. Next up, we've got Bill Drake, Chair of the Non-Commercial Users Constituency. Over to you, Bill.
Hi. I have to agree with Jeff. I think that you can make better use of this event. I was on council when we talked about doing it, and I was an advocate for doing it, but it doesn't seem to be terribly irrelevant to me for you guys to sit there and have us report about what we did for the past few days. I think spinning it more towards something that the council was actually taking up would probably be much more useful. Now, of course, in our case, it'd be a little bit weird because the NCUC and NPOC, we actually do all of our council-oriented policy work through NCSG, who you also will hear from. So if we were going to do something like that, we could simply consolidate, and you wouldn't need to hear from all three of us. But if we were to have something like having the stakeholder group get up and say, here's the policy-oriented work we've done since the last meeting together over the past 3 months. Here's our principal priorities. Here's where we're. Here's the debates we've been having about things that are going on in council that might feed directly into your discussion. That might be more useful to you. I don't know. That said, since that's not what we're doing, I'll do it the way we normally do. So we've been having a nice time in Durban. I just came from chairing a very robust workshop debate on closed generic GTLDs. We had a big crowd, a lot of people, very animated, very vigorous discussion, which it was suggested I should somehow try to summarize in the public forum. I can't imagine how I would do that, but it was very useful. It was the kind of thing that actually, when we had discussions on Saturdays or on Thursdays, closing discussions previously, when I was on council, and we talked about how it would be nice if we had some opportunity to think out of the box and talk more openly about ideas and issues. It was the kind of dialogue that I wish we had been having in council around some of these points. So it's unfortunate that you couldn't have all been there. But anyway, we did that. We also have had otherwise a very active and robust time here in Durban. We had the African School for Internet Governance that went on for 3 days prior to the convening of the ICANN, which brought about 40 African people together to learn about IG, Internet Governance, and NCUC, who was very actively involved in that. We had about 8 of us were lecturers, and we did an outreach event, and then many of those people came to our Constituency Day meeting, so that was very good. We had a nice African turnout at our Constituency Day event, where we also debated some things pertaining to African perspectives on internet governance issues. And we also had visits from the two vice chairs of the GAC and the ATRT and so on. So it's been a busy time like everybody else. Otherwise, I will just tell you that NCUC has been doing over the past quarter since Beijing a lot of work on sort of trying to enhance itself organizationally to get itself more set up to be able to work more efficiently and effectively. We've launched new websites, changed all of our electronic infrastructure, created teams to deal with the different management problems, improve our transparency, on and on and on. And our membership continues to grow. We're now well over 300 members in 75 countries with, I think, about two-thirds of our members being outside North America. So that's the short of it from the NCUC standpoint.
Thank you, Bill. Any comments, questions, or other input for Bill and the NCUC? Bill, I liked your comment about the issues-based work and the sort of robust discussion around that and how that might influence, you know, the work that the council may initiate on policy. I think it's a very good point, and I think to the extent that that sort of discussion is taking place, it'd be nice to bring that in, be good to bring that into the council discussions and make sure that forms part of our weekend sessions as well. So I appreciate your suggestion. Thank you.
I just want to endorse also Christina's point. Having the Sunday time for the stakeholder group to do its policy work prior to the Constituency Day was really good. So I hope that we can keep that without taking away too much from the council's weekend.
Thank you very much, Bill. And for the transcript, it's Bill Drake, not Bill Graham. But finally, we're going to hear from the non-commercial stakeholder group via David Cake. So, David Cake, welcome to you to provide that report.
Yep. Of course, I'm filling in for Robin Gross, who is, of course, the chair of the non-commercial stakeholder group and was unable to make it to this meeting. We're all quite unused to having a meeting without Robin, so if we seem more organised or, for that matter, less organised, now you know why. It has been a relatively busy time for the non-commercial stakeholder group. We have a couple of things we've been doing. For one thing, we are trying to address what we feel is a inequity in the nominating committee, where the NPOC currently don't have a representative. While that constituency has been active for 2 years, they still don't have a seat on NOMCOM. So we are trying to address that. We have sent a letter to the board addressing that. As the council, of course, knows, there was a reconsideration request on the trademark plus 50 issue, and the reconsideration request itself raised a number of issues about how the reconsideration process works and how the rationale is arrived at and so on. So we are continuing to that process. The next sort of step after the reconsideration request is an engagement process, the CEP. So we will be filing a CEP request, and hopefully we'll have some constructive discussions with the board about how the request for reconsideration process goes and went, and how we feel that went. We have been following very keenly the issue of the the letter from the Article 29 working group about the RAA, and were quite concerned to note we don't feel that was taken. The ICANN response has been appropriate to the Article 29 working party letter, and we are preparing a response to that. That has been that discussion around that has occupied the group somewhat. We've had a reasonably productive time. I think we also would agree that we welcomed the time on. We welcomed the extra time on Sunday to get our policy committee work done. Normally, we have to have that on scheduled against the opening ceremony for the last couple of meetings. We were quite happy to have that done. So we welcome again that little bit of space in Sunday afternoon. That's about it, I think, for the NCSG report. So.
Thank you, David, and thanks for your contribution to keeping us right on time. Does anyone have any question or comment for David and the NCSG and the report that he's just delivered? Thanks, David, and noted also your comment as well as the others on the weekend sessions. As I say, the thing we've got to grapple with is the fact that it did seem that the council time was a little compressed over the weekend, so that's something we've got to give some thought to in the interim and see how we can marry those two requirements. But thank you very much for your report. Bill. John, apologies.
Maybe the tie is too tight. This is John Berard. David, are you... I make the assumption that your concern over the Article 29 working group letter and McKaylee's report on seeking the local law exemption are they dovetail?
Yes. It's the local law exemption. But generally, I'd actually want to say that this one issue, the Article 29 working letter, I think generally it has been a feeling of NCSG that data protection authority should be better integrated into the work of ICANN, and that ICANN, it seems to be an area that is lacking. We're talking to data privacy authorities is not working as well as it should at ICANN, and we would like to see them more involved in the process somehow. Back in Prague, of course, we sent a letter to the Article 29 working group and other national data protection authorities about the issue. So we were very happy that they really engaged with it. And now we think maybe it's sort of... now that they're definitely engaged with these issues, perhaps we need to work about how we can better integrate them into our work at ICANN.
That leads to a question and a suggestion. The question is, are you collaborating with the registrars then to help solve this problem? And the suggestion is, should, because the GAC has in the past expressed its responsibility for interacting with the data protection authorities in their countries, Jonathan, should you reach out to Heather and see if there's, because of an increased need on the part of the GNSO, that perhaps encourage her to be a bit more active in getting the data protection authorities to the table?
John, are you suggesting that we as the council, or myself in my capacity as council chair, do this?
I would certainly encourage us as a council to have your signature under a letter expressing our interest in seeing that the data protection authorities be more tightly integrated into our thinking.
Two quick things. One is, this may be something we take up better in our wrap-up session or as a discussion point, and so I think we should mark the card of those setting that agenda. It may not be that we want to do it. I know I'm a little... just to remind councillors, we have an Adobe room, and I've seen that so if we could work with perhaps hands up... I've got a hand up there, so I'm just struggling with the two cues. I know I've got Wolfgang's hand up. I know I've had Brian up for a while. I think Brian and Jeff, your hands up in the room. So, okay, I've got Brian and then Wolfgang.
Quick question from the IPC. We are interested to see that you do feel like it's important for the MPOC to have a voice in the nominating committee. We're wondering if you also feel that about their participation and having a seat at the council as well.
Brian, who's there?
First I'll answer John's question, which is no, we're not. There's no formal collaboration with the registrars on that one. To answer your question about do we have about NPOC participation at the council? I'd like to note that one of our council alternates this week is has been Mary Lurie from NPOC. So all of us think of ourselves as councillors, we are primarily affiliated with NCUC. We all think of ourselves as NCSG councillors, and I would note that all of the nominees for NCSG council positions received endorsement from NPOC leadership at the time as well. So. Well, I believe, well, most of us certainly. We definitely. Yes, and it was a vote within our constituency. We didn't run against NPOC. We ran a unified ticket that everyone seemed happy with. So.
Thanks, David. I think it is helpful to have this queue in the Adobe. So if we could stick with that, who did I have next? I had Wolfgang Kleinbach.
Basically, I think John's proposal is a good idea to write a letter, but I would propose also to take this to the re-up session tomorrow because it needs more detailed discussion, but in principle, the council as a whole should become active in this field. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolfgang. I think with that comment, I would like to suggest we do that, and so we close the discussion for now. It brings us neatly, almost exactly on schedule, to the end of this initial session with the presentations by stakeholder groups. I have a question for the audience. I think I know the answer, but just to double check, the audio is a bit echoey for us up on the table, but I suspect it's coming out to you guys clearly. If I could just have a show of hands, if it's good. Yep, great. So that's good to hear. You're hearing us nice and clear. So if I look a little confused, it's because I'm hearing things with a slight echo up here if I don't have the headphones on, but it's slightly awkward to have the headphones on. Right, so we'll draw a close to that first session and move straight on without the customary break at this stage into our main council agenda. So I think if we could move more or less straight into that, a couple of remarks. I've spoken about everyone should have the link to the Adobe Connect. Hopefully you can all get that. Glenn sent that around earlier. Remember also, everyone in the audience, please, or in the room, please, that you are welcome to contribute. And that is the purpose of this public meeting. I understand we are a little thin, but to the extent that there are points or comments you'd like to raise, there is a microphone here, and this is the purpose of the public session. So that just to encourage that, and we do have an open mic at the very end of the meeting. So I think without further ado, we can go into the main council session. And instead of taking a roll call in the customary way, what I would suggest we do is just simply walk around the table and allow everyone to introduce themselves and the group that they represent. So if I could ask you to start on my left, and we'll just do a walk around the table, and we'll use that as the roll call for the commencement of the formal council meeting.
Thank you, Jonathan. My name is Han Chuan Lee. I'm from the CCNSO Council, the liaison to the GNSO Council.
I'm Ulrich Knoben from the ISPCP constituency and vice chair of the non-contracted parties house.
I'm Osvaldo Novoa from the ISPCP constituency.
John Berard from the commercial and business users constituency.
Marie-Laure Lemineur, filling in for Wendy Seltzer, non-commercial stakeholder group.
I'm Wolfgang Kleinwächter from the non-commercial stakeholder group.
Joy Liddicote from the non-commercial stakeholder group.
David Keck, non-commercial stakeholder group.
Nuno Garcia from the non-commercial stakeholder group, temporary alternate for Maria Farrell.
Magali Pazel from non-commercial stakeholder group.
Mason Cole from the registrar stakeholder group and vice chair of the council.
Jonathan Robinson from the registry stakeholder group and chair of the council.
Glenda Saint-Géry, GNSO Secretariat.
Jeff Newman, Registry Stakeholder Group.
Zahid Jamil, Business Constituency Councillor.
Volker Greimann, Registrar Stakeholder Group.
Joachim Keren from the Registrar Stakeholder Group.
Alan Greenberg, Liaison from the At-Large Advisory Committee.
Lanry Ajayi, non-com appointee.
Jennifer Wolf, NOMCOM appointee.
Brian Winterfeld, intellectual property constituency.
Pat Rainfort, intellectual property constituency.
Thank you all. Thank you, councillors, and thank you to those of you who have taken the time to come and attend and or participate in our public meeting here in Durban. So the next item is that we give the opportunity for the councillors to provide an update for statement of interest. All councillors are required to have a statement of interest on record and for that to be maintained current and contemporary. So if there are any updates to statement of interest, could we please hear them now? Brian.
Brian Winterfeld, I updated my statement of interest to indicate my new law firm, Catton, which I moved recently to.
Congratulations on your move, Brian, and thanks for the timely update. We now have an opportunity under item 3 to review or amend the agenda. Are there any comments or items for review? I'll just make a very brief comment. The agenda was updated very slightly shortly before the meeting to put the motions in the order in which they were submitted, so it now reflects the motions in the time order in which they were submitted, involved exchanging the position of two motions. So I would say that's a non-material update. We have minutes from the previous council meeting, and we have the opportunity to note them and put them to the record. Any comments or questions on the minutes from the previous meeting? Hearing none, we'll commit those to the record, Glenn.
Can I just, Jonathan? Jonathan, I was just going to note that Ching Chow's on the phone, but I think it's muted.
I apologize. So for the record, Ching Chow is a registry stakeholder group councillor from the I'm not sure how we categorize the ICANN regions exactly. We would in Asia Pacific, I suspect, but it's maybe slightly different. Anyway, Ching is online as our representative from the registry stakeholder group and should be recorded as present at the meeting. Thank you, Jeff. Under item two, we have an opportunity for a couple of opening remarks from me. I'm not going to say very much at all. You'll be pleased to know, Jeff especially. I really wanted to just say that we've got a pretty full agenda. We're going to work to not the previously suggested time of 7 o'clock, but keep us to 2 hours, so we should be complete by 6 o'clock. That'll require some disciplined chairing on my behalf and some disciplined participation on behalf of all the councillors. So we should ensure that councillors and participants from within the room have the opportunity to speak, but if you could keep your contributions succinct and ideally not repeat those that have already been made, unless you feel it's absolutely necessary to reinforce a previous point. We would customarily review the projects list and the actions list. These are recorded. They're up. They've been up for some time. I don't propose to go through them in any detail. I think we'll update substantially the actions list over the course of from the activities coming out of our weekend session, from this and from our wrap-up session. So right now I think there's an opportunity to simply provide for any comments or questions on those should any councillors or contributors wish to make them. Thank you. We'll proceed to item three, which is actually an empty item. It's the consent agenda. We typically have a consent agenda item in place to permit for any items that do not require particular attention and can be taken as read. Seeing that there remain no items on the consent agenda, we'll move immediately on to our first motion under item four. This is a motion on a recommendation to change the ICANN bylaws. The motion was made by the Registry Stakeholder Group Councillor Jeff Newman. Jeff, I'll give you the opportunity to read and present the motion.
Thanks, Jonathan. Actually, I'd like to withdraw the motion, but with the Council's indulgence, I'd like to make a statement, if that's okay.
Jeff, I've got no objection to it being withdrawn, but I think if you are to make a statement, we should also allow any discussion to follow on your statement as well. So fire away, and then we should take any questions or comments.
Sure, thank you. First, I would like to state that the motion on the table has achieved everything it was intended to achieve. And I want to personally thank the Council, the Board, and the community for a productive, fruitful discussion and session over the weekend. The reason I initially brought the motion in the first place was to encourage dialogue amongst the community, the ICANN board, and the GNSO council, and that's precisely what happened. And during that discussion, Fadi confirmed his view that it was perfectly reasonable to ask that the ICANN board explain the rationale for its decisions to the GNSO community if the ICANN staff or board's proposed actions are inconsistent with the GNSO community's advice. He also confirmed that it was reasonable for the ICANN board to engage with the GNSO community to work in good faith to resolve any differences. Finally, it was recognized by the board that whether something is considered policy or implementation, it should always involve a multi-stakeholder process. I personally am satisfied with the responses from the ICANN staff and the board over this past week and view that a change to the bylaws at this time is unnecessary. If in the future we feel like this verbal commitment to the GNSO is not being adhered to, we can raise this issue again. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. It sounds like you've got a couple of people pleased to have heard what you've said in the audience, in the room here. Can I hear if there are any comments or questions from Jeff in the light of his motion, the withdrawal of the motion, and his subsequent statement on the reason for the withdrawal? I've got a queue forming, commencing with Zahid. If I could ask you, councillors, to please put your hands up in the Adobe room. It makes my life a lot easier in managing the queue. So there's a queue forming. Let's hear it from you.
Thank you, Jonathan. First of all, understanding that the resolution has been withdrawn, I wanted to say, Jeff, thank you for your withdrawal. I think it shows leadership and an effort to keep the interests of the GNSO and its relationship with the board in mind. At the same time, it served the objective of raising an issue and have it discussed that some might have seen as important to the role of the GNSO as a policy body. Though many might have agreed to some modified form of what you raise in principle, I think your having raised the issue helped get it on the agenda of our meeting with the board, where the discussion was fruitful and helped to air out concerns and in principle achieve the core objectives of your resolution or the proposed resolution. It was also useful to note the openness of the board in discussing the issue, and may be useful to remember to address the board in future communication where we expect a response directly from the board. I hope that possibly the Policy and Implementation Working Group may look into the issue as well. I want to note your willingness to maintain harmony between the Council and the Board, and thank you for raising the issue for discussion and now its withdrawal. Thank you.
Thank you, Zahid. David.
I'd like to, again, thank you, Jeff, for raising this issue, and I think it has been a very, you know, just having the issue raised was very fruitful, and we got a lot of good responses. My only real concern is if the issue does come up again, of course, we... We feel perhaps the problem, it might be better to having identified that there is an issue, perhaps we should consider very slowly moving, more at a leisurely pace, moving towards seeing if there is some bylaw change or other, you know, appropriate way to ensure that the problem does not recur, so to speak. Do you think we should, not just Jeff, but do the council think that the general feeling is that this is still if not an urgent issue, one we should still be considering moving towards in some concrete way rather than just... is this something we would welcome seeing coming up through the Policy and Implementation Working Group with a recommendation?
David, thanks for that input and that question. I think it's an interesting point, and I think if I could add one more framing point to your question, it's really, one, should we be doing what you ask, and two, maybe Council might like to think if whether that is going to be covered adequately or otherwise by the work of the Policy and Implementation Working Group, and that's something we may want to think about. Waiting to see how that happens. I've lost the Adobe room. I know prior to the, or post what I had in the room, I had a couple of people. I've then got Wolfgang, Wolf Ulrich, Joav, and Lanre. But I did have a couple in the room, and that is David followed by Joav. So Joav, you're actually in ahead of them. Please, if you could go ahead, Joav, and then Lanre, Brian, and Chuck.
Yeah, I'm sorry not to be so happy like the others for this being withdrawn. I think this was an important motion. I am happy for the fact that there was a very good discussion, but from my experience, both in this community and in other places, I would say verbal obligations tend to be forgotten very quickly. And I would be much more happy if this was something more concrete and if everyone thinks it's good, so why not do it? And I have a feeling that there's probably some people, maybe a part of our of the GNSO, that believe that would probably didn't want to support this specific motion. I think it's wrong. I think we've seen... in the past year, the GNSO being circumvented several times. It may have benefited specific stakeholder groups that are part of the GNSO, but if this continues to happen, that means the whole process will be broken. And one day it might be work for a certain stakeholder group, and then it will not work for that one, and we'll work for another one. So strengthening the GNSO is very important. And I would, I think that we have to continue the discussion and have to find a way or something that maybe some amendment to this motion, some way that we can all agree and push this forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Joav. I've got a queue with Wolfgang, Wolf Ulrich, Lanre, Brian, and Chuck. I'm just wondering if we should... Do we conventionally defer to the person on the floor? And right, let's go in order. Let's hear from you, Wolfgang.
Thank you. I think Jeff made a very balanced statement. In particular, the last sentence is the key sentence. And this is also the condition under which I would agree to withdraw the motion. But we have to have a process, you know, for in case the verbal commitment from Wadi is not implemented. So that means I would not propose to withdraw the whole motion forever, but, you know, to put it on hold and to review the situation within one of the next meetings and to come back with this motion if we feel that it's needed. Because I fully agree with Jörg, you know, verbal commitments are forgotten, and, you know, we see it not only in the issues we discussed in the past, we see it now in the issues which are coming up. A lot of new things can be decided without proper consultation, so that the multi-stakeholder process will be bypassed, tunneled, bridged, or whatever by other activities. And insofar, you know, we have to be very clear that the GNSO has to play a role in the whole context and cannot be bypassed by other organizations. It's not only the staff, kind of new committees or whatever. Insofar, the proposal is not to withdraw it forever, but to, you know, review the situation in the next or the other ICANN meetings in 2014.
Thank you. I've got a cue that we will close after Volker on this item. Thank you, Wolfgang. I've got Wolf Ulrich.
Thanks, and thanks, Jonathan. Very brief. I also would like to thank you, Jeff, to withdraw the motion right now. As you know, and thank you for your rationale and your comment on that. As you know, the discussion of this motion has been created a lot of concern within our part of the of the House, and a lot of confusion as well with regards to the understanding to some extent. That means that this discussion is necessary, and it should really continue to do so. So I really appreciate your words. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Lonre.
I believe the issue raised in the motion is a very valid one. It is closely related to the issues on policy versus implementation. And I guess we have another opportunity to further discuss these issues when the working group for the policies versus implementation working group is formed. A possible outcome of that working group is an amendment of the bylaw. So I believe we still have a great opportunity to discuss it further, and we should. Thank you.
Thank you, Lunre. I've got Brian, Chuck, and then Volker.
Minister Property Constituency would also like to thank Jeff for withdrawing the motion and for his statement. We do believe that his motion raised some interesting issues that were important to discuss, and that ultimately we feel will hopefully appropriately be worked out in the working group that we'll talk about in the next motion.
Chuck.
Chuck Gomes from the Registry Stakeholder Group. After listening to the good discussion that happened on the weekend, I do believe that we didn't need a motion to change the bylaws. But one of the things that disturbed me in some of the side discussions that happened on this was comments like, this looks like a council power grab. And I find it really difficult to understand how a request for communication, for interaction, could be perceived to be a power grab. So offline sometime, if somebody really believes that, I'd appreciate you explaining that to me. I think it would have been nice to do a modification to the motion, expressing the intent that we need to have ongoing interaction and dialogue with the board on issues like this. And that's what I saw as the intent. So if anybody does think that it's a power grab, offline, please explain that to me.
Thank you, Chuck. Volker.
Hello. I think this was a very important motion. It
still is an important motion because of the discussion that it was raised after the motion was brought. I certainly do not think it was a power grab. It was more of a clarification of the role of the council and the role of, with regard of the role of the board. I think this is a, even though the motion has been withdrawn, the matter at hand should be observed very closely in the future. And even though the motion was withdrawn for now, I do not consider it dead. It should be revisited and reworked. And if the problem persists that led to the motion should reappear in some form or another.
Thank you, Volker. I'm going to take my opportunity as chair to thank all of the councillors for and including the thanks that have been expressed to Jeff for the mature way in which the discussion's been handled. This was seen as important by many, contentious by others, and I think we've ultimately handled it in a satisfactory way, and that's good for us, good for the council, and good for the GNSO. I would like to remind you all of my passionate drive to try and develop the effectiveness of the council and understanding our role within the GNSO as a whole. I certainly will not be party to any perceived or actual power grab by the council. I believe I have a very fortunate role to be an ambassador for the GNSO and for the work of the GNSO Council within that. By virtue of being chair, I do end up with some access to board members and senior executives that I might not otherwise have, and I will use that access and that opportunity to reiterate to the best of my ability the balanced viewpoints that I've heard and the substance of the issues and the understanding that I've got of them. So thanks to all of you for both raising, discussing this issue. I think we could still do better, and we should aim to do better in the way in which we manage these, but we've done very well this time, and it's great to see. So thank you all. The next item is another motion, and this motion in many ways links on to this, or at least is connected to some of the major themes that we're grappling with at the moment, and this is a motion to adopt the work of the drafting team that's prepared the charter for the policy and implementation working group. So the motion has been brought to us and by Wolf Ulrich. So, Wolf Ulrich, if you could present the motion, please.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. Well, I'm going to read the motion and maybe add some few words on it. So, the motion is, whereas the GNSO Council decided at its wrap-up session at the ICANN meeting in Beijing to form a drafting team to develop a charter for a working group to address the issues that have been raised in the context of the recent discussions on policy and implementation that affect the GNSO. Second, the drafting team was formed and has now submitted a proposed charter for the policy and implementation working group to the GNSO Council. And third, the GNSO Council has reviewed the proposed charter, and the charter is published under the link which is provided here. Resolved, first, the GNSO Council approves the charter and appoints Jeff Newman as the GNSO Council liaison to the Policy and Implementation Working Group. And second, the GNSO Council further directs that the call for volunteers to form the Policy and Implementation Working Group be initiated no later than 7 days after the approval of this motion. Until such time, as the working group can select a chair and that chair can be confirmed by the GNSO Council, the GNSO Council liaison, Jeff Newman, shall act as interim chair. So that's the motion as it is. I myself was a member of this drafting team, and I would like to say that the drafting team had a very fruitful discussion in between Beijing and right now to come up with this charter under the real professional guidance, I would like to say, of Holly Reggie. And the charter which is proposed is very comprehensive with regards to, I would say, really all aspects related to the borderline between policy and implementation, any questions related to that. So I
suppose that the charter has been provided and has been also written in detail, and I leave it to you then for discussion.
Thanks. Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Are there any comments or questions relating to or connected with the motion as it now stands? Right, I think we're in a... I'm sorry, did I miss something?
I think there are two hands on the in the Adobe room still, Volker.
They may be old hands. Oh. I think it's... I've got Brian, is it? And I think they are from a previous issue. Would anyone like to speak to, comment on, or question anything with regard to the motion? Great. Thank you. I suggest we could do a voice vote. Well, my only slight concern is whether we'll be able to hear Ching.
Ching is unmuted.
Ching, good. Okay. So,
Ching should be unmuted. Perhaps we can just check before the vote, Jonathan.
Ching, can you let us know if you... Great. So could all those... In fact, since we're in the room, I think all those in favour could raise their hands... So we have everyone...
No, he doesn't vote.
For the record, we have everyone in the room with their hands raised, including Jen, who is carrying a proxy for Thomas. Ching, can we have your vote, please?
Yeah, I'll vote in favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ching. So the motion is... Helen's non-voting. Thank you all. So the motion is carried unanimously. Our next item is the third motion on the agenda. And this is the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. You'll recall that this motion was submitted effectively on the weekend it was included in as a draft motion in the report. Who is presenting the motion? Jeff, you are presenting the motion.
Okay, thanks. This one I'm not going to withdraw, so... okay, do you want me to read the entire thing? It's kind of long, or... John?
Jeff, before you read the motion, I think there's a point from the IPC that they would like to make, so I've asked Brian to make the point.
After the discussion that we had over the weekend regarding this motion, we went back to the intellectual property constituency yesterday during our meeting. We had a discussion about this motion. The IPC is actually in support of the motion and very much wants the work to move forward. However, we are concerned about the process point, which is that the motion was not given timely. We feel like there's been a lot of emphasis on process at the council level and a lot of concerns that have been raised, and we've spent a lot of time talking about that during the last several meetings. Our concern is to set a precedent in this case to put the process to the side when people have been very focused on maintaining process and making sure we follow our own rules very carefully. So for that reason, the IPC feels that this motion should not be put forward today since it did not meet the appropriate timeline. However, again, we do very much support the motion. We do want to see the work to move forward, and we would suggest that a special meeting be held. We think it could be probably fairly brief in August so that we could vote on this and the motion could be timely at that time.
Thanks, Brian. In my capacity as chair, I think it's my job to respond to that, but if there are any comments prior to that response, I'll take them. So, Jeff, it seems that you have one as the maker of the motion.
Well, I'd like to see if you're going to accept that withdrawal, and then I'll make a comment.
My position on this, Jeff, is that process is very important. I've been reminded of that by a number of you on many occasions, and I feel duty-bound to respect this request, disappointed as I am not to make progress, and I think we should do whatever we can to make progress. But we did very recently have a discussion and make concrete our position on the timely submission of motions. So I'm minded to accept it, but I think I would like to hear if there are any comments in that respect. Prior to finalizing that position, but that's my view.
Yeah, this is Jeff Newman. I'm a little disappointed that there's a lack of flexibility. Too often we're criticized for not being able to act, or we act incredibly slowly, and the community has asked for us to find ways to actually act. And in this case, the final report had an incredible participation from the intellectual property constituency, the registrars, and a number of others. It makes a lot of sense. There were very few comments after the interim report. I understand the process issue. I'm just a little disappointed that there's no flexibility. But that being the case, I would ask that if we are going to take this off the table, that we count 10 days from the date that it was made, which was the 13th. And ask for a call on the 23rd. I see no reason why to wait to August.
Thanks, Jeff. I mean, let me hear from Chuck first, who I believe was in the queue, and then I've got Zahid.
Chuck Gomes. I'm a believer in process. It's very important. But when we adhere to it in a legalistic, rigid way, when there are no valid reasons why, no indication that it's being misused, somebody taking advantage of process, or there's not enough time to consider the motion. In this particular case, even though the motion was late, we've all been involved and been aware of the recommendations. I just think it makes us look bad.
I've got a queue with Zahid, Joy, Alan, and then Marika and Volker.
Thank you, Jonathan. As I seconded this motion. In fact, I think there are 2 seconds. This is interesting. So that's how much support this motion actually has. I would just say that, you know, we're disappointed. In the BC, we support this motion strongly. We will be hopefully voting in favor of it. I understand the issue that was raised with regard to process, and I think we have been concentrating and focused on it for important reasons. But I would echo what Chuck has said, which is that we need to also have flexibility, and boards and other fora, when they move forward in this respect, they do sometimes have the ability, and in fact they do, to suspend if there's unanimity. And so we need to find a way. I think maybe I understand why this has happened because of the rules. But maybe we could think about how we can make sure that there are exceptions when there's unanimity, and it's clear, as Chuck rightly put, there's no effort by anybody to try and game the system. So I would echo that comment. Thank you. Just one other thing. I would also support Jeff's suggestion that we have a call as soon as possible.
Thanks. I've got a queue with Joy, Alan, Marika, Volker, and Greg.
Thanks. I have a procedural question, and perhaps it might be one that Marika or you, Jonathan, can answer, is whether should the IP constituency feel that they can't vote for the motion today, whether they feel that they could abstain from the vote and we could vote anyway, whether this is something that's desired, then their point is made without undue prejudice to the motion itself. So that's just a procedural question I could do some assistance with, please. The second one really relates to the point I think that Chuck and others have made, is that while the point is well made about the procedural issue,
I think that we don't do the community any service when we don't abide by the spirit of what those rules are for. And I think there's no objection, as I understand it, to the substance of the motion. There's been a huge amount of work that's been done by the community to reach consensus. There seems to be a clear consensus, and I think it doesn't really behoove us to see this kind of request. And it's not in any way to disrespect the place from which it comes. Goodness knows the NCSG is paid very close attention to the procedural discussions of late. But I think the point's been made, and I know I feel very strongly that it would be in the spirit and keeping with the community not to put us to the expense and staff to the expense and additional work of a special meeting to discuss this. I think that's not really fair on them. If we're able to do this now because there's actually no substantive objection, then I really think this is the kind of thing that would help us regain some bearing and status in the community where some of us feel that's been lacking lately.
Thanks, Joy. Just on a point of process, I mean, I think the objection is to the untimely making of the motion, not the unwillingness to vote on it. But that's just to be clear on what the position is. Thanks, Joy. I've got Alan, followed by Marika, Volker, Greg, Wolf Ulrich, and John Berard. So, Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I'm speaking on my own capacity, but noting that I was also vice chair of the working group. This was a rather remarkable PDP in terms of the disparate views that went into it and the amount of real negotiation and discussion and thought. And I think it's a shame that we can't use the same amount of professionalism as we go forward at this level. I must admit, I was somewhat appalled by the action that the council took a few months ago in changing the rules for advance submission of resolutions, not only in the number of days, but down to the second. And there were people at that point who spoke about how important it was to be exceedingly precise and that something submitted a minute late could not possibly be accepted. And appalled is the only word I can use. I support what Chuck said, that I think that was an incorrect motion, action for council to take. It took it, so be it. I would presume that council could waive its own rules by a significant vote of this council right now, if it chose. Thank you.
Well, that's an interesting point, Alan, and that is the bit that's what I would seek for some clarification on. And if and I've got Marika next in the queue.
We're having side discussions here. I just want to note that I think we do have a precedent on how we've handled these cases in the past, where we also had a similar provision in the GNSO operating procedures, and then we've always worked on the basis of non-objection. So basically noting that if a motion was submitted late but there was no objection from any of the council members to consider the motion, it was considered. So I think here we have a similar case that if there is no objection, it can be considered, but obviously if there is an objection, I think there's no other choice than indeed to defer it to the next point in time.
Thank you, Marika. And that is the basis on which this motion appeared on the agenda, and that was my understanding of the weekend session. However, we did reassure the IPC, the IP constituency members at the time, that should they have any further reservation, they always had the tool of deferral in their toolkit should they wish to defer it. So in any event, that was my understanding as chair on the weekend, which is how this motion ended up on our agenda at this point. Next in the queue, I've got Volker, Greg, Wolf Ulrich, John and Brian, and I'm going to cut it at that point.
Personally, I think procedure is very important. Procedure is intended to protect all the stakeholder groups, all the constituencies, to ensure that their voices can be heard and that they can go back to their communities and discuss a motion. In this case, however, we've heard that procedure is the only reason to withhold, to object to the making of this motion at this time. I think that is concerning. That is not the reason why we had decided on the deadlines and how to interpret them. They were designed as a, at least in my view, as a protection of this of the community, of the stakeholder groups in the constituency, not as a means to block voting of a motion that everybody agrees should be passed. I was a member of the working group, and I can just echo what Ellen said. It was a very interesting how the community came together very quickly. I think if we passed this today, we would have one of the faster PDPs in a genus or history, and this opportunity being missed just because of procedure that was intended to protect the constituency is a missed chance. I would suggest that any procedure that the genus O had set for himself could be waived with a unanimous decision of the genus O, should be waived with a unanimous decision of the genus O council, and I would just ask the IPC to reconsider their position.
Thank you, Volker. I've got Greg from the IPC. Greg.
Thank you. Greg Shatton from the IPC. I would say two things. First, I was a member, am a member, of the Policy and Implementation Charter Drafting Team, and we were very aware of the timing for a timely submission of the motion. We worked very hard and in a very accelerated fashion to make that deadline, having calls sometimes twice per week, having our call start so early at a time that our chair would have been asleep under any other circumstances. And I think, you know, we were very aware of it, and I think that to some extent playing around with these rules disrespects our work in making it to the deadline on a timely fashion. That said, if the existing rules of the council allow for a waiver, as was suggested, or a unanimous objection, but if those rules already exist before now, those rules should be invoked, and I think that the outcome will be different. But if the rule is that a motion has to be in 10 days in advance or else it can't be made, if that is the rule and there is no existing policy for overcoming that rule, the rule should be honored, and I think that that is professional and appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I've got Wolf Ulrich next. I was going to close the queue at Brian, but given the circumstances and the position, I think we will add Christina, chair of the IPC, at the end of the queue. So let's go with Wolf Ulrich for now.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. I come from an area and from a region where we also stick to rules, but we also see some flexibility in rules, in handling rules. So saying this, so I would like to join all the concerns having raised here. If I only turn to the rules and not to the content and have no raised really issues with the content, then I may be in a position well to think about how to handle rules in a flexible way. And that brings me to the point to say, not as a threat, but as a consideration, that if we go that way, just to turn it down because of a rule, then it may come back one day to us from other sides to use it in a similar way, which we wouldn't like to have. That's one point. So if we are not able to do it right now, I would like to be in favor to do it as soon as possible and not at the 10th of the August, because I don't have a possibility to attend those meetings. And thank you.
Thank you. I've got John next.
John Berard from the business constituency. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable about the pressure that we're applying to the IPC right now, because I worry that at a meeting somewhere down the road, it might be the BC that makes such an objection and winds up being pressed by our colleagues to forego a decision that we had made thoughtfully under the pressure of an immediate decision. I reject the notion that we're not flexible, because we're willing to have a call as quickly as possible to move on the motion. But I do think that we... Oh, I'll let you guys finish. I do think we owe it to our colleagues in the broader GNSO, seeing as how we are just a creature of that broader group of constituencies, to abide by the policies and the processes that we've put in place, so that even the wackiest of our members have the opportunity to offer insight and participate along with the most sober. So I would be in favor of accepting the IPC's request. I'd be in favor of exhibiting flexibility by calling a meeting as quickly as possible to vote on the matter. And I think in the grand scheme of ICANN activities, a 10, 12, 15-day delay is really the beating of a hummingbird's wing.
Thanks, John. I've got Brian and then Christina, and then we're closing the discussion. You think the IPC is under pressure? What about the poor chair?
Well, the poor chair.
Brian Winterfeld, IPC. Jonathan, I feel bad about the pressure that you're under right now. I'd like to acknowledge that. I would like to just say that I don't think that the intention is to focus on process for process sake. I think, looking again historically at what we've been focused on, we've had a lot of discussions where people have been extremely precise and very particular about process. It's something, again, that we recently did, as Alan noted, clarify what the timeline was going to be for accepting a timely motion. Again, nobody sees any problems here. Unfortunately, we've seen issues in prior meetings where people did, frankly, in my opinion, have what I would describe as inappropriate motion practice, and it concerns me that we're maybe opening a door for people to have additional ways to potentially game the system or spend time at the council table that I don't think is productive. So again, everything looks very innocuous here. It seems like everything's fine. There's no problem. The rules don't matter, except they don't matter until they do. So that's our point. It's definitely not to slow down the work of the community or to slow down the good work that's been done here on this motion.
Thank you. We're going to hear from Christina Rosette, chair of the IPC, next. Christina, I would like you to, if you don't already intend to do so, to reiterate your objection to the untimely motion on behalf of the IPC, if you would be happy to do so.
Sure.
If not, I'll confirm it with Brian.
No, absolutely. It is, in fact, a unanimous position of the IPC, and every single member who weighed in on our mailing list and in person during our discussions yesterday was unanimous that in the interests of consistency and in the interests of predictability and certainty, and also, as Greg Shatton noted, in light of heroic efforts made recently by another group to ensure that their motion was timely presented, we are not in a position to agree to waive that rule. Unfortunately, I don't have the authority or the discretion under the IPC bylaws to overrule the views of our members. We recognize that this was not an ideal situation, which is why we wanted Brian and Petter to make very clear, and I repeat that again, that we are absolutely willing to have a meeting earlier than September. And if it's, the 23rd is the first day after the 10-day period, then absolutely. But at this point, and maybe this highlights the need to have kind of another time set for inter-constituency, inter-stakeholder dialogue in between constituency day and this meeting. I just don't have the discretion or the flexibility. I regret it. It's not the ideal outcome, particularly that, because on the substance and the content, this is something ordinarily we would be happy to vote for and, in fact, intend to do so.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you very much, Christina. Thank you all for your contributions. I think I understand them. I think I understand the various positions. I would just say one small comment, that this wasn't a tardy, late submission of a motion, as I understand it. It was rather an opportunistic bringing forward of the submission of a motion in order to speed up our processes. So I think that's something we should all be committed to and recognize. And if we need some modifications to our rules or operating procedures to accommodate that sort of thing in future, that is entirely proper that we should be focused on that, since speed and effectiveness and efficiency of throughput is certainly something we should, as we've discussed many times recently, be focused on. That said, I don't think there's any option under the circumstances. Marika?
I just want to make one note. The rules of procedures do say that if you want to have a new meeting that considers policy issues, it needs to be a notice of at minimum 14 days in advance. So just to take that into account.
14 or 10?
14.
Understood. So I'm not going to try and quickly pull together that notice now. We'll work on it as fast as possible and reconvene to consider this motion at the earliest possible opportunity. And I will remind councillors that it will be their duty to organise proxies or alternates or whatever the appropriate mechanism is, so that we can ensure that this isn't in some way handicapped by lack of attendance in a period when. So, as far as I'm concerned, we have to take this motion off the agenda now, and we'll reconsider it at the earliest possible opportunity. Thanks very much for your contributions. Our next item is a proposed letter on behalf of the GNSO Council covering IDN variants. I wonder if it wouldn't be appropriate to, since we've been going on, can I just get a show of hands whether we shouldn't take a very brief break at this stage, or whether we should continue? Anyone in favour of taking a quick break? Yeah, let's take literally 5 minutes, please. It's 16:40 local time, so it's 16:45. Please, can you promptly be back at the council table to continue the meeting? Thanks very much.
That's the only thing you get to vote on. Bathroom breaks.
Andy, gentlemen, you have to share. Candy? Whoops.
Thank you very much. Whether or not I agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. Why that's. I'm actually not unduly worried about it. I think it's too much of a pity at that point. It hasn't hamstrung us that badly. I wasn't surprised by it. You know, and for me, that's my worst, is to be surprised by a substantial process or other issue. Whereas, if I, you know, it's not great, but it's not a disaster. I don't know. So, not your objection, yes.
I was the person that was fine. You know, they were not.
But we're really working just on this. We're not working on any. There is no process that allows us to do that. No, I'm not. I know. And in fact, that's what's come about. That actually. I'm also pretty fair. I hope I'm fair. I mean, no, we pressured these guys into accepting that we could go on that deadline on the basis that we could accept it. But we said on the basis that we could defer. So, you know, and in the end, we've said, actually, it's not even that big deal for us, so it's fine. I mean, I'm not really worried about it.
But if that's the power we're asking for, we use that. If it's not the power that we're asking for, we're asking something different.
Maybe we'll find something else.
Right, if I could call councillors back to the table, we've taken a brief 5-minute break for those of you that have joined us recently. If everyone could rejoin us at the table as soon as possible, please, so we can continue with the meeting. Could all the councillors in the room please return to the table as soon as possible so we can continue with the meeting?
council gets maybe voted on the list until the group names the chair and convenes and leaves them as the chair.
Okay.
That's standard.
I remember that.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the council meeting. We've taken a brief break. This is the GNSO council meeting in Durban. We're about to commence with item 7, the update and discussion on a proposed council letter on IDN variants. This work is connected to and responds to a board request to interested SOs and ACs to provide staff with input and guidance, and some work has been undertaken within the JIG to prepare some draft letters, some proposed letters from the GNSO Council as well as the CCNSO Council. So we've all seen that for some time now. So really what I'm seeking, I think, from you is your... There's a question of two possible outcomes here. This can either come back to the council as a formal motion to send the letter, or I can get your support to send this letter right away. But before doing that, it may be that there's any discussion or comment on the substance or comment on this letter. I'm not sure, is Edmund here in the room? Who is... Ching, you have your hand up, so let's hear from you.
Thank you, Jonathan. I hope so the chair of the JIG, Stedman Chong, could be in the room, but I guess he has another working group on IDN to chair. So you actually, Jonathan, pretty much cover what I wish to say as an intro. The JIG has been dealt with this IDN variant issue for a number of years, and I think it's appropriate, it's within their scope to have a response for the board to provide some guidance which can be factored into the implementation of the IDN variant. I'd like to read the two summaries that have been described in the letter. I think it's useful, and in this public meeting, so everybody can hear this, and it's good for the record that we have the opportunity to emphasize these two fundamental principles. So first of all is the variant TOD reports have made very clear and reaffirm the community view that IDN variant TOD allocation and delegation is not a purely technical undertaking, but requires policy decision and intervention. And as such, rules regulating what IDN variant TODs, TOD strings, whose such TOD strings can be allocated to and how they could be delegated are matters of policy oversight within the purview of the CCNSO and GNSO. And second point here is the variant TOD reports have also made clear and reaffirmed the community view that IDN variant and IDN variant TOD requirements and experience from different IDN language communities differ, and that relevant experience, expertise and knowledge from the local communities are important in the development of the overall policy at ICANN. So as a result, ICANN should resist overreaching its scope beyond the technical coordination and administration of the root DNS, which facilitating appropriate implementation by local communities, especially to avoid delaying deployment of IDN variant TODs. So what it says, this two points here, is that, first of all, many in the community are still Seeing this is a new issue, but I mean, many of us in the room knows that it is not. Many at the board level, if I may, still think that IDM variant is somehow a technical issue. It involves more aspects on the security and the stability of the internet. But for many of us have seen, witnessed, and actually operated IDM TOD at the top level, the CCTOD fast track, and also the GTOD at the second level, has already implemented in the very secure and the stability manner. What we need to do right now is to really to encourage the board just to implement what the IDM TOD reports, and as well as the user experience report, says that it shouldn't delay, it shouldn't add any additional process. I would like to conclude my statement by having a comment, is that this week that we have witnessed four IDM TODs signing the contract, and pretty soon one of the TOD will be facing the missing of the IDM variants. And it's just bizarre that we're still discussing an implementation plan for a soon-to-be-ready operational IDM TOD. So I really urge everyone to take this back to the stakeholder group and your constituency to really discuss. I would, as you said, Jonathan, I would hope that this letter can to be sent to the board ASAP, so without a motion. But if a motion is really required, I would really urge everyone in the council to look into it, and potentially we have that approved ASAP. So thanks.
Thank you, Ching. Thanks for that comprehensive input on this. I would like councillors to concentrate on two things, please. One, any questions or comments on the content and substance of the letter, should you have them. And two, an indication of support to send this letter, or whether there is a now, or whether there is a requirement to formulate it in the form of a motion, because it's something we could pick up at this forthcoming meeting. Any thoughts or input on that? I've got Volker, I think Zahid and Yoav. Volker and Yoav.
I have no comments on the content of the letter. I think it's fine as it is. I would suggest that we do not put it into a motion, otherwise it will take another half a month to send it. So voting on sending the motion would be a good thing to do.
Thank you. Yoav?
Yes, I totally support the wording of this letter. I think it's very important. Being part of, almost all the IDN working groups, advisory committees, or whatever, since 2005, I have always stressed that IDNs are not a technical issue, but a policy issue. Many people didn't believe that during the time, and were not listening, and we are getting again to the point where policy needs to be decided, and not only technical issue needs to be decided. This is a very important issue, and I'm actually very worried that we are only dealing with variants on the TLD level, and are leaving registries to resolve the issues of variants in the second level, which might create a huge, huge problem if procedures are not implemented right. On the other hand, I hope that registries will use the work or the decision that will be done on the top level and just do the same thing in the second level. So that's what I have to say, and again, I really support this. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich.
Yeah, thank you. Speaking for the ISP constituency, as Tony at the beginning pointed out, we had a very comprehensive session yesterday with regards to the IDN variants. Dennis Jennings was joining from remote as well. And so we are in line. We are aware of all these items, and we are really behind that, and we would like to support to send out this letter as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. I've got three indications of support. I don't need more. I just need to know if there are anyone who is not in favour of sending this letter as soon as possible. Indeed, if that is the case, that there is full counsel to support this letter, I will make non-material amendments to it and prepare it for a dispatch in short order. So can I have an indication if anyone is not in favour of sending this letter as soon as possible? Just for the record, it would be useful if everyone who is in favour would perhaps raise their hands. And for the record, I'm looking around the table and seeing no one without a raised hand. Yes, so we have a unanimous support to send this letter as soon as possible. I'll get on with that. I'll do non-material edits and send it off as soon as possible. Thank you for your support. Thank you, Ching, for your input. That's that item dealt with. Our next item is item 8, an update and discussion. Is an update and discussion on the proposed forthcoming GNSO review. Now, those of you who have been paying attention to the mailing lists and the updates, which is not always easy at an ICANN meeting when everything else is happening, will have noted that there is a recent posting to the ICANN website indicating an opportunity for public comment on the intent of the Structural Improvements Committee of the Board to delay the forthcoming GNSO review. We've got Rob Hogarth from ICANN staff here to present us with an update on those, and then once Rob has given his brief presentation, we will go on to some discussion points that both Rob has raised, and perhaps I'll formulate those in my own way as well. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Jonathan. I have a 10-page slide deck that I'm going to abandon and just focus on the last page. We can perhaps get the presentation posted on the session page, but we'll just stick with this page to give you all more opportunity to talk. And my apologies if I lose my voice or start coughing in the middle of this. I think there are four main points for you to consider on the subject of the GNSO review over the next several weeks and in your discussion today. Those points generally are reflected in what the board still has to do with respect to the GNSO review efforts and the review of other independent organizations within the ICANN structures. And then there's a component where this community needs to be involved in specifically. In general, as many of you know in past presentations that I've made, in previous discussions that you've had with individual board members and with members of the Structural Improvements Committee, it's that the board is looking at potentially retooling the independent review processes within ICANN as a whole. And because the GNSO review happens to be the next major review in the cycle of ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees, this reexamination impacts you more quickly and more directly than some of the other communities in ICANN. So the fundamental thing is that the board is looking at the entire review structure, trying to determine whether there are more appropriate mechanisms for conducting the review, for example, utilizing the affirmation of commitments processes in review teams, or considering other aspects from a strategic and an operational review perspective. So there's a bigger piece of the review effort underway. The second piece is once the board makes the determination of what that retooled review framework will look like, then they really have to focus on what are the specific standards and requirements by which that review will take place. Some of you will recall a previous presentation that I made to the council about what we called at that time criteria for the review process. And The proposed criteria for that process has been posted on the wiki. I've shared that link with all of you. A couple of you have looked at it and provided me with comments. That's still an effort that is underway. The third component for the board's review is the timing. You know, considering the fact that there's going to be a larger look at the framework for reviews, considering that there are going to be individual considerations of standards, recognizing that there's just a general angst within the community about what the GNSO is going to look like in the future, the Structural Improvements Committee has proposed delaying the GNSO review for as yet an undetermined period of time, pending comments from the community. There is a current public comment forum that was just opened. I believe the comment period, if there are comments and replies, ends around the end of August. And if that proposal is ultimately accepted, 6 months from sometime in September, the board will come out with a new time frame for the GNSO review. And that in itself is undetermined and probably depends on what the new framework looks like and what some of those criteria will be. So that brings me to the fourth point, which is simply sort of what are the next steps for you as a GNSO council and for members of the community and individual stakeholder groups and constituencies in terms of what you want to do next. Two primary areas that I've identified. The first is a determination of whether you're going to comment collectively, individually, as communities with respect to this proposal to delay or postpone the GNSO review. And then secondly, regardless of what that time frame is, to follow up on some of your discussions in Beijing and that you've had since then, as to whether you should begin to consider or just look at the potential for a self-review or some type of audit discussion that maybe something is of value regardless of the timing of the GNSO review. So, Mr. Chairman, that sort of sets out the broad concept of issues, and I'm happy to take any questions or expand upon that.
Thank you, Rob. I think this is very new news. I mean, it's clear that the posting was just a day or two ago, so I think we cannot reasonably expect that we'll take immediate action on this. But I had a similar three... Now, I had three ways in which I thought we could maybe look at this. Is A, how do we feel about this change in this proposed timing? And do we think we as a council are in a position to and would like to make input into this request for input? And thirdly, which relates to your point on the GNSO preparation, what else do we think we should do in the interim? Now, I had a hand up over here. I think it was Zahid, followed by Wolf, Ulrich, and John.
Rob, if I could ask you to just give us a further explanation of what exactly is the logic, I'm so sorry, I apologize, for the board considering delaying the GNSO review. I mean, I've read what's on the website, which says, number one, because there's an ATRT, other panels. And I'm just wondering, could you give us a little more information, if you have it, as to what the logic was?
I can't speak for the board or the Structural Improvements Committee beyond what they've said in the public comments forum. Oh. But I think, or my sense, and this is a personal view, is that there are a number of different factors going on. Various members of the community have approached different board members with different ideas. And I think there's a sincere effort on the part of the board to say, gee, there are all these moving pieces. It may, and again, this is a proposal for a postponement, it may be beneficial for the community to understand what these other pieces are going to look like before making a decision. And another piece of it is that there's still a lot of work and discussion that's going into what does the new framework look like, what are the standards and requirements that might be a part of a review. There's two pieces of a potential future review. There's, using terminology I've shared with you before, there's a macro component, which talks about where does the GNSO Council and its other organizations in the GNSO fit into the broader structure of the organization. Then there's a more micro piece, which talks about the processes and the operations of the GNSO Council and of the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. And to a certain extent, until that's resolved, it's difficult to begin a review and explain to an independent reviewer what they should be looking at and how they should make various considerations. So I think those are some of the factors.
So if I could just quickly and say that we had some opportunity to discuss this within the constituency of the BC, and one of the views was it takes such a long time to get a review like this done. We should really consider, before we say, no, let's not do this and postpone it, really have a think about it, because it'll take a long time before we even get through them. How long did the previous one last? Jeff, maybe you remember. You've been there for a while. So how many years did it take us to do the last one?
But from beginning to end, it was at least 5 years.
Right. Thanks.
Rob.
I don't want to mess up the timing here. Lars, if you can go back one slide. The concept of the existing reviews, and I think what's being looked at in the future, is still this five-year cycle. So, Zahid, as you look at that time frame, it's a general cycle, the review component of which is about 16 months, but there are other aspects that include preparing for it, implementing it, and then conducting operations. Thanks, Lars. You can put back the other one. Thanks.
So I have no doubt this will be a topic of discussion and ongoing discussion. It is interesting to hear how both individual councillors and or to the extent that they know what their stakeholder groups feel about it, and also whether or not, you know, what we should be doing about this in future. My cue has... did we hear from Wolf Ulrich? I don't think we did. So it's John, and then Wolf Ulrich, John, and then Chuck. Yes, Wolf Ulrich. Wolf Ulrich, John, Chuck.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. I also have a question to understand maybe the impact of a potential delay on other work to be done. For example, we have charters, or the constituents have charters, so, and they are may be affected in the development of the constituency itself, so because we have applications to constituencies and so on. So then we have to modify and amend the charter, we have to go through those processes as well. So I wouldn't not see a situation where it comes up that this work is going to be delayed as well because of the delay of the GNSO review. And there may be other effects as well, you know, with regards to budgeting and these questions as well. So this is my concern I have, and I would like really to stress this point and ask you how you see that.
I think there's a challenge that individual constituencies and stakeholder groups have to look at during any part of the cycle. It's, you know, what future changes might the board or the community see moving forward? Even if you look at the most realistic time frame right now for a GNSO review, you're looking at, if it were to happen today, taking 3-4 months to hire an independent reviewer, a 16-month or so review process, then, you know, 3 or 4 months of board review. Do the math. That's already almost 18 months to 2 years before something new gets implemented. So if any group is considering amending charters or changing them, I wouldn't wait, because there's time coming along. The second component, I think, of that is, what is the ultimate goal of a review? As you look at some of the considerations that the SIC has publicly shared, the ultimate conclusion of a review is, at its farthest point, potentially changing how the GNSO is structured, but at its closer point, it's providing recommendations to help a constituency, a stakeholder group, or this council operate in a more effective manner, or potentially changing some ways that it operates. So given that give and take structure, you might have to consider charter changes as part of that as well. So either way, I think one has to begin moving toward business as usual in terms of making fixes or improvements that you're already contemplating.
Thanks. I've got a cue which I'm going to insert Jen in, since she was waiting patiently. And then I've got John, Chuck, Wolfgang, and we'll close it at Jeff. So Jennifer Wolf.
Hi.
I understand completely what you've just described in terms of the macro level issues that may impact the scope of the review and that may cause a delay, and that makes complete sense to me. You also have on here the opportunity to start a self-review or an audit that might then later expedite the review. Could you provide a little more information about how we would go about doing that?
Yeah, and just to clarify, I don't think it would necessarily expedite a review, but it would certainly help inform and provide information. In terms, when I think expedite, I think timing might not, but you're right, it might make it more efficient and actually more effective, because the feedback you'd be giving to an independent reviewer would be more informed and useful. In terms of how it would be done, I think that's really for you as council members to discuss in terms of the council. And it's for individual stakeholder groups and constituencies to think about if they were interested in a self-review. The wiki site that I've shared really outlines the different types of criteria that I think provide the universe of what you might consider. The council has already discussed one or two times potentially setting up a working group or some sort of non-PDP work team to consider those options. And that might be the way to go. It would make things more effective, and it would help you all focus on the areas where you think improvements are necessary and avoid those areas that you think are going fine.
Thanks, Rob. And Jennifer, to that point as well, I will share with the council, and I would appreciate being reminded if I fail to do so, the work that Bruce Tonkin shared with me of the sort of self-review work that was done in the previous round that the council undertook, and Bruce has given me some links and reference to that. I've got John, Berard, followed by Chuck, Wolfgang, and Zahid has been substituted for Jeff in the queue, and then we're closing it.
Thank you, Jonathan. John Berard from the business constituency. Rob, you and I have talked about the review process probably for months before it surfaced publicly because of the hopes and dreams that many of us have embedded in the outcome. But I do worry that this is another example, this delay is another example of the perfect stamping out the good. The delay is more than a delay. It is it creates a vacuum that allows internal and external actions, whether organized or not, to essentially change to do the review of the GNSO. I know in the BC we've already begun a substantive review of the charter, including everything from membership requirements through voting procedures, the kinds of things that would be influenced by a review. And so I suspect that what will happen because of the urgencies within the GNSO generally, that rather than the constituencies being informed by the actions of an official review, it will be the actions of the constituencies which will inform ultimately the review. So perhaps if we put it off now, maybe we'll be able to put it off for a lot longer because it's going to be more effectively done. For the chair, I would hope that this will not influence your decision to engage in the persistent improvements that you had talked about wanting to implement at the GNSO Council as well, eh?
To the extent that warrants a response, John, yes, I'm absolutely committed, and I hope we all are, to continuous ongoing improvement in everything we do. Chuck.
Chuck Gomes. A quick question for Rob. I don't know if he can answer it or not, but I'll give him a shot. Is it fair to assume that this new review audit process would be subject to the public comment period, or is this going to be a unilateral board action?
From everything that I've seen in the SIC discussions, there would be community input into what that process would look like and the various standards and requirements that would be proposed.
Thanks, Chuck. Wolfgang.
That's also a question to Rob. What is OAP? And wouldn't it be a good idea if I could give each acronym a number?
Thank you. Excellent comment. We've been constantly schooled at reducing the number of letters on our slides. So OAP is a concept called the organizational audit process. And one of the concepts here is, and it may be no more than wording, to shift the review to more a sense of it being an audit. And that function would continue in terms of processes and criterias. And then the issues of structures, the issues of continuing purpose for the organization would move into that affirmation of commitments space and the discussions of strategy and overall structure. Thanks for the question.
I've got Zahid next, and then we'll close the topic.
Rob, thank you for that EOAP. That was interesting. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say, you're informing us. So I think it's less about you and our discussion, more about the council having to sort of decide what to do about it. So it's not about us messaging out to you. So thank you. But thank you for the update. Two points come to mind. One, it's important that we realize that the delay is to a date that is unspecified. So it's open-ended. That is what concerns many people. At least if we knew that there was a delay by one or two or some number of years, we could think about it. And in that context, I hadn't thought about this, but Jen, you remind us about the review, the self-review. And I think we had discussed this, if not in Beijing, I think maybe at an earlier meeting. And so if you could send that around, Jonathan, that would be helpful, because I think that would be one of the solutions in the meantime that we could do. So just wanted to support that idea. Thank you, Jennifer, for bringing it up.
Okay, so thanks to everyone for their input. Just to, I think what I said at the outset still holds, and I hope it doesn't override any of the discussion points that have been raised. Essentially, to my mind, there are three points. It's how do we feel about this delay, this change to the review process? Do we or do we not, as a council, provide input into that, into the request for comment on that? And finally, what do we do or not do in terms of our own, if you like, self-review work? So those are the three open items, and I think we'll capture those within an action item on our action items list as in sort of A, B, and C under that list, and we'll continue to take those up. So thanks for constructive input, and we can hopefully capture all of that and move that forward going into our next meetings. The next item picks up on the work on cross-community working groups, which has been on our table for some time. We did some work and prepared a GNSO set of principles on cross-community working groups, circulated these, and ultimately got comment and feedback from the CCNSO. Now, I don't recall this was something we discussed on the weekend sessions, was it? So it's something which I don't know how fresh or current in everyone's mind this is. We really need to review the input of the CCNSO and decide what action we take next. I'm really open to hearing from anyone any comments or input or questions on this, and I think given the pace with which we've all been working and what's been going on, it is understandable if you haven't had anything. Alan, you have a comment? Let's hear from you then, please. Jeff, as well, after Alan.
I guess it's a question.
Sorry, after Alan. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh, after Alan, sorry.
I was just going to point out that I think it may make sense to pass this document by and ask for similar input from the ALAC before you try to integrate the CCNSO with yours. Otherwise, you'll then take the combined results of your two deliberations and get a third woven in, which then I guess has to be passed by both groups. So since the GNSO one was done as a first stab at issues the GNSO thinks important, perhaps a similar exercise with the ALAC, and then the GNSO take both of them back and perhaps try to massage them and find something that's common ground.
Thanks, Alan. My understanding is that we had already done so, but if not, I'm slightly surprised, and we certainly should do so.
Not in my recollection, but...
All right, let's go back. In any event, Julie, you have a point on this?
Yes, we did originally ask all of the groups. It was quite a while ago. It was only the CCNSO that came back with comments, and that's why we... came back with a willingness to move, continue a dialogue on this, and so that was why we specifically asked them for their comments, which is what this letter is. And but they are the only ones we heard from when we asked.
Thanks, Julie. That was my recollection. But there's no reason why we shouldn't hear further from the ALAC if this is. And so, by all means, Alan, in your capacity as liaison, pick this up and feed back to us whether that's likely to receive appropriate and timely attention. That would be great.
Will do.
Thank you. Jeff, you had something to say?
Yeah, I mean, I know that whenever we did this, and it seems like forever ago, we had a cross-community working group. And John Burrard, were you the chair of that, or were you on that? Or
I wasn't the chair.
Okay, no. I seem to remember. What can we just and maybe discuss tomorrow, referring it back to that group? Jonathan, if we just refer it back to that group, if we could dig up the archives to see what group that was, just refer this response back to them for them to work up a proposed response. And
yeah, I think that's reasonable, but also conditional on maybe some input from the ALAC would be great. Either, well, yeah.
That group, was that group open to anyone?
Yes. Okay. And I think we probably, so that may be the right way to do it. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for that suggestion. All right. I think that sounds like a sensible enough suggestion to let that group pick it up. We'll see who is still remaining in our community and alive and kicking and willing to do the work. So let's see what we can do in picking that up. Thanks, Jeff. Any other comments or questions before we move on to the next item? Right, the next item is item number 10. This is the request from the expert working group, and we had interaction, as you know, with the expert working group on GTLD directory services. Another way of describing this might be next generation WHOIS services, but I think they've avoided that term and worked and focused on GTLD directory services. So we've had the report. We've had some input over the weekend, and really I think the question for us as a council is, are we as a council in any way minded to provide input into the comment on the initial report, or are we going to leave this up to our respective groups and constituencies? So I think that is the question before us. I don't know if there's any other comments or suggestions. John.
John Burrard from the business constituency. This, of course, is one of the dead horses that I continue to beat, which is that this is first and foremost the responsibility of the individual constituencies, and that's where it should reside.
I don't think it's a dead horse. I think it's a perfectly alive horse to beat. Jeff, and then Jeff.
Yeah, I agree with John. I think this is not a GNSO policy activity. This was not initiated by the GNSO. It will ultimately, anything that comes out of this group will ultimately come to the GNSO if there's any policy or implementation. It will come back to the GNSO, and so I think the only thing I would like to see the GNSO say at some point is that we look forward to receiving the report and initiating the appropriate policy processes.
Jeff, a question for you, and then Lunray, I'll take your input. Was that not sufficiently covered by my previous letter? I just don't want to keep writing letters. If you think we need, I mean, I wrote to the chair of the expert working group reaffirming or seeking his affirmation, really, that the work would ultimately, any resulting work would go through the policy development process and so on. So before we move to Lunray, can I just check if you want something other than that letter?
No, that's all right.
Great. Thank you. Lunray.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is the right time to start writing again. The group is bringing its work to conclusion. And if, as a matter of fact, a deadline has been set for input. I want us to focus on giving input to the group. Maybe not by the council, but maybe the council can encourage the constituencies to give the necessary input. We went around through the communities, various constituencies, and made a presentation. We seem to get a positive response, but there are some areas where concerns have been expressed. particularly in the area of centralizing the system. There have been huge concerns expressed in that area. So I will encourage us to propose alternative to that. I mean, we understand the focus, the goal of the system that is being designed to improve accuracy, to improve privacy, and other stuff. So, and we came up with a design which an aspect of it looks centralized, and people are very agitated about that. So we need input to that. What are the other options that would make us achieve the same goal? So I guess there must be a way to encourage people to give input before the deadline, which is August 12th. So I guess we can discuss on that.
Thank you, Lanra. I think that's a very good point, and it's a perfectly appropriate use of councillors and council resources to go back to their groups and to remind them that their input is critical along the lines of what Jeff and John have both suggested. So, point taken. I think that's incumbent on all the councillors to recognise the importance and potentially substantial nature of these suggestions and to go back and provide appropriate input. We are equipped to do so based on the fact that we were properly briefed by the expert working group, so we should be in a good position to chivvy along our respective groups to provide that input, which is what I'm hearing from you. So are there any other comments or inputs on this item 10 at this stage? Thank you. Volker.
Yes, I would like to say that I'm very pleasantly surprised by the results of the expert working group. There has been a tremendous amount of work that has been done on a topic that has been very controversial. There are a couple of problems with that. I'm not going to go into them, but I'm sure that each and every constituency will find it in themselves to respond to the provide comments to the report and point out the problems, because at this stage, if the initial report is, becomes a final report in the way that it's phrased now, the hard part of the policy work still lies ahead of us. There's still a lot of work, a tremendous amount of work ahead of the ahead of the GNSO once this is passed along in the form that it currently has. And the easy part has been done. Now comes the hard part.
Thank you. Right. I think we'll close off that item and we really move on to the last couple of items on our agenda. The first is if there is any other business that councillors would like to raise specifically for on the agenda that haven't been covered elsewhere. Any other comments or input that haven't been covered?
Hi, just like to say that this is going to be my last meeting as the CCSO liaison, because I'll be stepping down in my capacity. And I just like to thank the councillor for having me for the past 4 years, since 2009. And it's been a wonderful journey with you guys, and it's been a, I've learned a lot from you guys as well. And I'd like to thank Glenn for not only taking very good care of the councillors, but she also took very, very good care of all the liaisons. And thank you, Glenn, for such wonderful love from you. And to thank all the past chairs and Jonathan for being patient with me. So I'd like to say thank you to the GNSO Council.
Thank you, Hanchan. I think if you hadn't have brought it up, I certainly would have, and we'd like to thank you for your involvement and participation. And so in my capacity as chair on behalf of the council, I'd like to thank you for your involvement, and it's been great working with you, and we'll look forward to meeting your replacement in due course. Thank you very much. I think I would like to thank the councillors for a productive and interesting meeting. We're still going to hear if there's any other input from the open mic, but thank you all for your constructive, positive input and the tone and quality of in which it was delivered and received. Clearly, we would not be able to meet as a council over the weekend and in this session and in all of the interim meetings without the substantial support of the ICANN policy staff, and so I would very much like to thank all of them. I don't think I'm going to single out anyone's names. I mean, we get some very high quality support, and just generally I think we should thank them for that. It's great to get your support, ICANN staff. We have a tough job to do. It's difficult to know. You seem to have a tough job to do at times as well, and we appreciate the support that you give us in doing that job. So thank you very much. We have had an open microphone in essence throughout the session, but I think we would very much... I'm sorry, Volker.
Just before we move to the open microphone, I would just like to make a small point, a small suggestion. Seeing that we have this tremendous attendance here and tremendous interest in our session, I would just ask that in future sessions we rename the open microphone to the GNSO public forum and have a separate point on the agenda so we can generate more interest that way, perhaps.
You mean the way we simply classify the item on our agenda? Yes, by all means, I think that's a good suggestion. Thank you. So would anyone like to contribute to the GNSO public forum? I see someone from... Welcome.
Hi, Greg Shatton from the IPC, inaugurating the pre-first GNSO public forum. I just wanted to respond to a points made earlier in the discussion of the first motion about whether it looked like a land grab. The references were to remarks that I had made earlier, and I wanted to come back and just clarify why I had been saying that. Basically, the motion as drafted mirrored language that in the existing bylaws that refers to the way the GAC interacts with the board, and that by using that language as a basis for the motion, and if that language had made its way into the bylaws, any standard rules for document interpretation would have meant that those words needed to be interpreted the same way as they were in the interaction between the GAC and the board. I think we've all seen between Beijing and now what GAC advice looks like. If the words about GNSO advice were in the bylaws, GNSO advice would need to look the same. I don't think that was actually Jeff's intention. If it wasn't, it would have been better to use different words to get to a different result. The result of putting the bylaws in that way would have been something like GAC advice. If you think that GAC advice is what you want GNSO advice to look like, the motion would have been appropriate. So that was why I felt it looked like a land grab, because that really is a different relationship, whatever you think of it. And I think there was also some language in there that referred to the role of the GAC, of the GNSO, rather, in being responsible for providing advice to the ICANN board on the implementation of policies relating to generic top-level domains. And again, that may be what people think the GNSO should be doing, but it's not exactly what the bylaws currently say the GNSO is doing with relation to policy, or rather to implementation. So again, without expressing an opinion on whether or not, or maybe I am expressing an opinion on whether or not that's exactly what the role of the GNSO should be, by having that statement in the bylaws, that would be the formal role of the GNSO. And that to me seemed like a considered expansion of the role of the GNSO, and therefore that's why I felt it looked like a land grab. I actually spent quite a bit of time playing with the words of the motion to try to convey a different sense that was perhaps less prescriptive and that would make it look like more of a discussion and a conversation and the need for the implementation not to be siloed, which I actually agree with for various reasons. That exercise was academic, but I think that sense could have been in a different motion. Whether it should have been a bylaw motion or not is a question, well, we won't know, perhaps ever know, but I think that that was where a lot of my reservations came from. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. I know I've got Jeff next in the queue. What it does make me think, your response, is that there's plenty of constructive work we could do amongst one another, and I'm looking forward to picking that up. So, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Greg, for saying that. And I did actually get a chance to see the words that you came up with, and I actually would have accepted that as a friendly amendment wholeheartedly, but my understanding is that you were not able to get buy-in from either your constituency or the stakeholder group, and it's unfortunate that it didn't percolate its way up to the top, but just for the record, I absolutely liked the wording that you used, and your wording was actually my intent, so it's too bad that it didn't get in front of the council. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. If you could make sure you go and give Greg a big hug after the meeting, that would be wonderful. Are there any other contributions from within the room or from the council itself? Thank you all again for a quality discussion. I know the outcomes weren't what everyone might have wanted, but I think we've run a good meeting and had a quality discussion. So thank you, and thank you for those of you who attended the meeting as well and made your quality contributions at the open mic. Look forward to seeing you all at the gala this evening, and you'll be pleased to know we've finished in good time to go and get changed into our glad rags and enjoy the festivities. So thank you all. See you soon.
Is there anything else I can help you with today?